take your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are going to read verses 10 through 13 together this morning. I am going to preach on a topic today. Not sure in 47 years of life and in church that I've heard more than one or two sermons on in my entire life. I don't know that I've heard more. I know I've heard one. I'm not sure that I've heard another one, an entire sermon on this topic, and I'm excited about it today, so I want you to listen very carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 10 through 13 together responsively. Here we go. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also, as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And let's pray. Now, Holy Spirit of God, we need you today. God, I need you in a special way. These are your people, and we're a needy people. We stand before you not only sinful, but needy. Lord, I pray that you'd use the preaching of the Word of God today. May I open my mouth and you fill it with your words as you commanded and as you planned for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The honor of my life for over 25 years, a quarter of a century, to spend my life with hurting people. Folks, I live in the emergency room of life. I really do. I'm going to take the first part of this message, not to depress you, but I want to show you a very, very, very wonderful truth. Don't get discouraged. Get encouraged, amen? But I live with bad news. I live with news of hurt. I live with news of tragedy. I live with just unbelievable things. And I hate using this term. It's almost my job to show people there's hope. There is hope. Can I tell you something? There is still hope. Not just that one. There is hope. Amen. This church is a hospital of hope, not a museum of past. It is a place where real hope is needed. I sat down this week and I listed what I was able to list of what's happened just across my desk in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to give you a list of things that may shock you. Those of you that stress, don't get stressed. Some of these things happen to the people in this room. I'll not reveal it. It'll be done in such a way nobody would know. So if I do reveal it and you say, oh, that's me, everybody knows who it is, all right? But hang on. Just in the last 2 weeks, I have a pastor friend who ended up needing 5-way bypass surgery. Tried to help them through. Brother Ed Hawkins just had a pacemaker replaced on Thursday. That's why they're not here. He had to have a 2-wire one versus a 1-wire one because of his heart condition. And went through that with the Hawkinses. I talked to a school administrator just this week, whose secretary just up and quit in a school running 100, 125 people, and you don't know how that could cripple a work. I talked to a couple just yesterday. Their 21-year-old son has spent the last week in jail and has been a prodigal for the last couple years. Just heartbroken. I talked with a family this week. They have a teenager who has broken their heart. And I mean major breakage, and there's much fallout because of it. I got three families in the last 2 weeks that just honestly, if it wasn't for a miracle of God, there was just no way to pay the bills. That's three different families. I had a pastor contact me. This just amazes me. He's dealing with a situation that he said, "Preacher, I need your help." I said, "I'll do what I can." And he's got a mess on his hands. There's a pastor who brought a young person into their home and then ended up doing some inappropriate things, and he's in jail. And the wife is now at this pastor's church trying to hold the marriage together while he's in jail. I talked with a man whose job is just about to overstress he and his family. And I mean, unbearable situation. I talked to a teenager and worked with a teenager that's afraid of a certain situation that they face. I talked to a young couple who needed financial help. I talked to Brother Stoltz, who lost his brother just suddenly. I've worked with two families in the last 2 weeks that were just barely hanging on to keep their house. And I mean barely. Let me tell you what happened just before church today. I got word of a man that Kay and Kermit and I know, and who I got to win to the Lord here just a few months ago. He died with cancer 2:00 this morning. I got a text early this morning that somebody, many or most all in here would know, that I love, that were not a part of our church. They have cancer that's inoperable. The next text came in, another person that I know. By the way, both of these last two have done an awful lot to attack me. It's okay. Second one had cancer, and neither one are expected to live, and one's very close to death right now. You say, "What'd you do? Did you rejoice that one of your aunt?" No, I sat and wept. I can't even send a card, ethically. But I can weep. I can love. That's just what's happened in the last 2 weeks. I live my life trying to breathe hope into people. I live my life trying to help people that get to the point where they say, "I just feel like I've lost hope." People who are hurting, discouraged, and broken need hope. Not just help, they need hope. Hope seems to fade or get dark very quickly. Do you ever notice when the pressure comes, the first thing to leave is your hope? The Bible says that we will then see clearly, but now it's like looking through a dark glass, smoked glass, tinted windows. And it seems like when the pressure comes, the sunshine folds up and we can't see. Have you ever noticed how quickly a child loses hope? Let me show you. I used to tease my children. I know you would never do that, but I would. But I would, when my kids were crawling or whatever, I'd hold a toy out in front of them. Or for my daughter, a stuffed animal. And I would hold that stuffed animal out and try to get them to get, you know, moving a little bit. And they'd crawl towards it. What do you do with it? You move it. Yeah, buddy. And they try to crawl again. You know, it doesn't take but two or three moves. And then they sit down, "Nyah!" And mommy gets upset. "You're being mean." "No, I'm trying to pull them along a little bit." When they sit down and go, "Nyah!" You know what that means? I've lost hope. I tried and failed. I tried and failed. I tried and failed. Hope is gone. I'm going to cry. Can I tell you what? I'm going to show you something here that might surprise you. A child gets excited fast, but they also lose their hope fast. is all they got to do is hear the crinkle of the cabinet and they know what's coming. Kind of like my dog. My dog, our new puppy, she's about 6 months old. Lord have mercy. I'm too cheap to do a whole lot, but that thing was little, and we'd be at the kitchen, and I don't let my dog in the kitchen. You can do whatever you want. I just don't want mine in my kitchen. So she'd sit there and got her paws right at the edge, and she's looking up. We'd be at the freezer getting ice for the drinks. So I'd flip her an ice cube, and she'd play with it and lick it and play with it and lick it until her tongue was numb and everything else. Now she can be downstairs. You can open the freezer door. There she is. And you say, what do you do? Ice cubes are cheap, man. Just keep flipping them, amen? Now, wait a minute. She gets excited real fast. But I'll promise you one thing. You open that freezer and she's sitting there and you don't give her one. Hope is gone in a hurry. Yeah. You say, what happens? My wife and daughter give them to her and I make her cry for a while. Hope goes very quickly. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Immaturity does not have the experience to hold on to hope very long. Immaturity does not have the experience to hold on to hope very long. I find it very interesting. Look in your Bible at 1 Corinthians 10. Verse number 11 says, when I was a child, when I was immature, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Do you know what verse 13 is attached to? That very thing. He said, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, I find it interesting. God says, there's a list here. Faith, hope, and charity. If we were to prioritize it, we would say the greatest thing is faith, then charity, then hope. God said, now abideth these three, faith, hope, charity, and the greatest is charity. Notice, God said the last one is the most important one. That whole chapter is on charity. But watch this. Then he lists hope and faith with it. If charity is the most important, guess what? The second one would be hope. And the third most would be faith. God said there are three things, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest is charity, and the second most is hope. Boy, we talk about love. Charity and love are virtually the same word. We talk about the love of God, and for God so loved the world. And by the way, that is the greatest thing. But may I say this, faith, hope, and charity are all related. They are all related. Instead of looking at it like a list, 1, 2, 3, you're going to have to look at it like a multi-level house. You have your foundation and your basement, and then you have your main floor, and then you have your upstairs. God said that foundation, that bottom level where everything abides is charity. Then you have hope, then you have faith. It's not a list of 1, 2, 3. It's like building a structure. And you have the foundation, the main, and then the top. Now listen to me very carefully. God talks about not being childish right before he lists faith, hope, and charity. Now watch this. Did you know it's very easy as a Christian to act like a child? Do you know we live in an immature society today? Good night. We live in a world that doesn't want to grow up. We live in a society where people do not want to grow up. They want to play, not work. We live in a wimpy society. Oh, We can't let Junior go out and ride his bike unless he's got a helmet, elbow pads, knee pads, chest protector, foot pads, you know, and he's got a mattress wrapped around his bike. Well, he might fall and get hurt. Do you know how many times I fell and got hurt? That falling and getting hurt teaches you not to fall and get hurt. Everybody doing all right? There used to be a day when football players played football, not mamby-pamby tag. I'm not for guys going out and killing each other, but as long as they're going to do it, I'm going to watch it. Good night. Do you think Mean Joe Green would have agreed with some of the rules in football today? Good night. He'd have ripped their head off and spit down the hole. We have adults who stay up late at night to play video games. And they wonder why they can't keep their family intact. Everybody doing all right? I wonder if we pulled the average person's phone out and find out how many hours you've spent playing games on your phone. Just so you know, you can look at mine. It's on my desk. Praise the Lord. I don't have any. I'm too busy to play games on my phone. Well, it's a stress relief. Good night. Stress relief to me is getting another job done. Amen, Brother Mike? Take that stress off me. It is time for Christians to grow up. I'm going to help you today. It's time you quit losing hope like a child. It's time you quit being so immature that at the first sign of stress, you're ready to give up. Oh, I have just no hope. Wow. I want to help you today. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says there are three graces or three qualities that are the greatest: faith, hope, and charity. I know that pressure comes. I know that heartache comes. I know that disappointment comes. I know that battles come. I know that grief comes. I know that confusion comes. But may I say this, there is still hope. You do not have to lose hope because of opposition. By the way, guess what? There's no need of hope if there's not opposition. Oh, we know how much love can keep you loving. But what about hope that keeps you hoping? Folks, it's time this world grows up. You can't live at home till you're 40 or 30. Good night. If I still lived at home, my dad would have killed me a long time ago, or I'd have killed him. Folks, it's time to grow up and cut the apron strings. When something happens, you don't call mommy or call daddy and say, okay, what do I do? I'm not saying you don't call mom and dad for advice from time to time, but some of you can't wipe your nose without calling mommy first. And you're 40 years old. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Faith, hope, and charity are all related. Let me show you what I mean. What happens is this. When someone that you love disappoints you, when someone you love hurts you, you lose hope. And when you lose hope, the Bible says you will change your faith. You'll lose faith. So the focus of hope is your love. Let me show you what I mean. Someone gets upset at the preacher, and their love is strained. I know nobody here ever would get upset with me. I'm just so lovable. But it happens. I know that's hard to believe. To know me is to love me. Amen? But sometimes we don't always see eye to eye on everything. Can I tell you what happens though? Sometimes when people have that love relationship strained with the preacher, this is what happens. Then they say, I've lost hope in that church. I don't agree and I don't feel like somebody loves me like they once did. Now watch this. And they begin to lose hope. And when they lose hope, guess what happens? They'll change. By the way, not everybody that has left Grace Baptist Church has left over the fact that they didn't feel like this preacher loved them. Many of them leave with the right spirit, right attitude, right reasons. Everything's all right. Amen? But I will tell you this. When someone leaves a church like this and goes to a church of lesser faith, there was a love and a hope problem. Everybody doing all right? I'm not mad at them. But they'll end up changing their beliefs because they're loving the wrong thing. And they've loved the wrong thing or have been hurt to the point where they'll lose hope. And when they lose hope, watch this, they change the faith. Now, let me give you, how many points do I have here? I have 3 points, no poem. All right, here we go. You ready? Your love is the foundation, not the roof of your hope and faith. Your love is the foundation, not the roof for your hope and your faith. Love or charity is in the last, but God said it's the greatest. Did you know, Brother Buck, when you build a building, you don't build the roof first? Brother Mike, did you ever see somebody try to put a roof up and didn't have a building? It's not going to work. You have to have a foundation built, then you have to build the structure, and then you put the roof on it. Can I tell you something? Love is not the beautiful roof that you see on top. Love is the foundation in the bottom that you never see. You just know it's there to hold it all up. You know, ladies, you're very good at wanting your husband to express love. And by the way, fellas, you need to learn how to express your love. There's nothing wrong with you expressing love and being tender, being kind, and being gentle. But ladies, it's not all warm and squishy all the time. It's got to be strong enough to endure the storms that are coming. You see, it's the foundation, not the roof. That means we need to center our love on things that are eternal and do not change. Let me say that again. For you to have a strong foundation for hope and for faith, you have to have your love in a foundation on eternal things that does not change. Guess what? I'm going to make a statement here. If your love is in people only, your love will change because people change. If your love is in an institution, your love will change because institutions change. God said for you to love and to have hope and to have faith, you need to put all those things on things that are eternal. That's why he said, think not on things of the world, but things that are eternal. The Bible says that hope is in the Bible, not just that one. Turn to Psalm 119. Let me show you a couple verses here. Psalm 119. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit here. It's a long chapter. Verse 81. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. Look at Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. We could go to many, many other places. God says that our hope is to be built on eternal things. Those eternal things are the word of God. Yes. Folks, this book does not change. King James Bible has remained the same. Everybody doing all right? God said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or you have no hope, you have no faith, and you have no love. None. By the way, folks, you better learn to put your hope in the word of God. Marriages need the word of God. Well, my husband just doesn't talk to me like I should, so I've started a relationship online. It's not physical, but I get to talk to somebody. No, you need to read the word of God, talk to God, spend time with God. You don't need somebody other than your spouse. Well, my kids and I have a strained relationship. Then you have a strained relationship between you and your God. And I happen to know what I'm talking about. Your hope is in the word of God. We live in an illiterate biblical world. We've changed the Bible so much, and people quote the Quran more than they quote the Bible. Everybody doing all right? All right. Your hope is not in the Quran. It's in the Bible. Your hope is not in the Constitution, it's in the Bible. Your hope is not in the love novel, it's in the Word of God. Your hope is not in your Wall Street Journal, your hope is in the Word of God. Next. And I'm not going to take time to turn to these verses, but Psalm 42, verses 5, verse 11, Psalm 43, verse number 5 says, my hope is in God. Can I tell you something? God does not change. Did you know that if your love is in God, guess what? Your hope and your faith will not change. If your love is in God, it will not change. Man, that's exciting to me. I got to hurry because I got a long way to go here. Your salvation in heaven is where your hope is. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27 says, in my salvation, I will hope. Guess what? Sally? Couple weeks before your husband passed away, you won him to Christ. And you have great hope. Can I tell you why? He's in a better place. He's in heaven. He's there. Do we still miss him? Yes, but guess what? Heaven's eternal. Salvation is eternal. He's always going to be there. And someday, you'll get to be with him again. Now, hopefully, we'll all go together. But if not, you'll still be with him. Isn't that called hope? Oh, that's just so sad. No, that's hope. That is hope. I want to stay here and preach a long time. I'm not going to. But 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, and Acts chapter 23, verse number 6, talk about the rapture being the hope of glory. We sorrow as not as those that have no hope. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? These are the worst days you'll ever face, because as soon as we leave this cotton-picking earth, we're in heaven for eternity. Whew, glory to God. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Folks, we have hope because heaven is our future and the Lord is coming back. He's coming back. He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't come back shortly. Now, your love is to be foundationed on things that do not change. Listen to me very carefully here. Brother Brett, come on up here. I love Brother Brett. Brother Brett, I've known you since 1998. Man, 16 years. Yes, you are getting old. I knew Brother Brett before he was married. I knew his wife before she was married. I knew him before they got dating. Can I tell you something? You've changed. You got uglier. He's trying to grow some fuzz in his face, and there's more salt than there is pepper to it. Amen? Say, why don't you grow one? Because I don't want everybody to see how gray it really is. Amen? It's not gray, it's white. It doesn't matter. I'm colorblind. It's not the color that, well, it is closer to the color on top too. Anyway, Brother Brett has changed. You didn't have three children when I met you. You didn't have a wife. So all you had was a camera walking around like some computer nerd. I'm teasing. Kinda. Oh, wait a minute. He's changed. Watch this. I love Brother Brett. But I don't put my love and center my love on Brother Brett because he is changing. I center my love on the Word of God, on God Himself, on the hope of heaven and my salvation in the rapture so that I can love Him. My love is there. If Brother Brett goes out and kills somebody and ends up in jail, guess what? My love for him does not change. But if my love is only in him, my love will change. Thank you, Brother Brett. Mamas, be careful. You shouldn't center all your love on your children. Your whole life should not be about your children. It ought to be about your husband. God didn't give you your children to keep them forever. He gave them to you to raise them for him so that they leave out and go build their own families for God. I used to tell my kids all the time. My daughter would say, Daddy, I love you. I'd say, no, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Someday you're going to marry some toe-headed idiot. Leave me. She used to say, no, I wasn't. Now she doesn't say that anymore. Now I know she doesn't love me. Can I tell you something? Some of you, you have children and say goodbye to your husband, and 20 years later you wonder who he is. Your life is not just about your children. Should you love your children? Yes, you should. But they shouldn't be the focus of your love. The Word of God should be the focus of your love. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Number two, when your love is shaken on the temporary, refocus on the eternal. When your love is shaken on the temporary, refocus on the eternal. I'm going to use Sally again. God bless her. She knows I love her. She's not mad yet. Sally, it's not been but a few weeks, 2 months. Her husband passed away. That was the temporary. She'll tell you. I talked to her and she said, do you think I said, you can come in anytime. We've had several appointments. It gets frustrating these days when somebody passes away. All the legal gobbledygooky mess that you got to go through. And you're still hurting and you're still grieving. Sally will tell you, I told her, let's refocus. Let's start working on things that are eternal, not temporary. Can I tell you what happens? I watch people lose a loved one and they are so full of grief that they lose focus on eternal things. Oh, I lost my dad. I lost my mom. I lost this person. I lost my spouse. I lost that person. And woohoo. And that quick, they have no hope. If that person was saved, bless God, they're in heaven forever. Well, that didn't bring them back here. That's selfishness. That's selfishness. As much as you love them, God loves them more. And guess what? He's getting them ready for you for when you get there so they can love you more. Why do we focus on the temporary? How about let's focus on the eternal? I'll be honest with you. Mrs. Lopez and I were talking yesterday for a moment. And she said, I think I know more people in heaven than I do on earth. I'm getting to the point where it's getting closer, that's for sure. I've sent an awful lot of people on ahead. But thank God for heaven. Kay, when you told me this morning that he had gone to heaven, guess what? You watched me. I smiled. Now, I hurt, but I smiled. I said, well, praise the Lord, he's in heaven. Thank God he's not burning in hell right now. He's in heaven. Do you know what the last thing he said was? About an hour before he passed away, his daughter said, he looked up and said, oh my, oh my. In wonderment, she said, Mom, I think he saw heaven. I said, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Whew. It wasn't, oh no, it was, oh my, look how beautiful. Can I tell you something? That ought to give you hope, amen? You see, sometimes your good friends will disappoint or leave you for any reason. I have a lot of friends all over this country. Did you know I have friends that were in this church that have moved, but God didn't die? God did not die because they moved. God didn't change his address. Everybody doing all right? Well, I miss my friends. Don't you think everybody misses friends? I do. Everybody listen to me very carefully. When a child breaks your heart, you keep going and invest in others. I'm speaking from personal experience. You see, I talked with a family just recently, and they had a child that has broken their heart. And the mom said, I'm just so ashamed. And said, I don't know how I can keep doing what I'm doing. They work in a ministry type situation. I've lost my credibility. I said, why? You didn't do wrong. Your child did. Your child's an adult. I said, quit believing this worldly psychology garbage that if somebody does something wrong, it's your fault. Brother Buck, you know you don't have to teach kids how to sin. They do it naturally. You know, I didn't have to teach my daughter how to sin. She did it all by herself. You know, my mom and dad didn't have to teach me how to sin. I did it all by myself. And some things they still don't know. Say why? Because my mother would die of a heart attack. Now, wait a minute. You don't have to teach anybody to sin. It's not how you raised them. If your children don't turn out exactly the way you raised them, that's their choice, not yours. Period. End of discussion. And by the way, once they're old enough to leave your home and they've left, let them leave. They have to answer to God. Quit beating yourself up over it. Some of you are grieving over that. You've lost your love and you've lost your hope. Say why? Because you're focused on the temporary, not the eternal. When my son was not living quite like he should, it hurt his mother and I deeply. But listen to this statement. I didn't stop. I didn't quit investing in people. My love for my son was only superseded by my love for my God. And I decided either he could keep me from loving everybody else and hurting everybody else, or I'd focus my love there and say, you know how I feel. Because every one of God's children but one turned out bad. What chance do you have? Guess God knew how I felt. So I might as well invest myself and refocus myself on eternal things so I don't let the temporary destroy. Boy, that's a good statement. when I get attacked, when I get hurt, when I get disappointed, I go invest in finding new people, win the lost, and reinvest in the saved, so I have more hope. I'm going to tell you a story.
That little lady sitting on the third row right there, Miss Sally, is a direct answer to prayer when I was attacked. Somebody hurt me. Somebody attacked me. And I said, God, I'm dying. I need you to help me help somebody. And the phone call came. And I showed up. And let me tell you, God restored my hope real quick. Amen. Say why? Because my hope was focused there, not here. Oh, you get attacked and you want to run away, crawl and hide and, pardon me, cry in your Pepsi. Oh, well, it's me. Because you're so focused on now. How about focus on the eternal? There were people that got saved after that. There were lives that were changed after that. Man, it doesn't take long for me to get hope back up when you're focused on eternal things instead of the temporary. Did the pain go away? No, it still hurt. But guess what? I didn't lose my hope. I did not lose my hope. How do you not lose your hope? Focus on the eternal, not the temporary. In number three. The loss of hope comes when you do not yield to the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and do what He says. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You find love, hope, and faith wrapped up in both of those verses. And he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Wow. And then he says, peace I will leave you. Peace is a result of struggle, not the absence of struggle. You say, he is inside of you the moment you get saved. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God regenerates, redeems you, and moves inside you. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? For you are bought with a price. And that Holy Spirit moves inside of you, and you now have him inside of you to comfort you. I was hurting. I was attacked. I was in pain and said, God, I need you to help me. I need somebody to help so I don't lose hope. And the phone call came. Sally needs your help. And I rushed to the hospital. She had no idea. My problem seemed awful small compared to hers. Her husband was dying. And I stood by the bedside and loved on her and her family and prayed with them. Went back day after day after day to try to help them and saw some people get saved. And we watched God work in a situation miraculously for about a week. Can I tell you something? I didn't lose hope. Say why? Because I listened to the Holy Spirit. And as I listened to the Holy Spirit, he refocused me on eternal things. And guess what? He gave me more people to help, which gave me more hope. But he was always inside of me. By the way, he won't work outside that book right there. The Holy Spirit doesn't ask you to do weird things. The Holy Spirit, through the preacher, doesn't say, well, you need to sell your house, give everything you have to God. That's contrary to that book right there.
I've been accused of being a cult leader. Cult leaders don't take offerings the way I take offerings. I'm not interested in your offering. I'm interested in your obedience to God for your sake. You see, he works with the eternal word of God, not the external temporary things. Oh, I had gotten up in the night and I stubbed my toe and my toenail fell off. And that must mean the Holy Spirit of God wants me to go. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, that's weird stuff. That's weird. Okay, you stubbed your toe and popped your toenail off. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit was speaking to you. That means you need to learn to turn the light on when you get up at night. You're not listening to what he's teaching you. Amen? When you step out the front door and not know that the porch is full of ice, guess what the Holy Spirit taught me? Check that puppy before you put all your weight down. He wasn't telling me that, I fell down, so God must want me to move. I know people that would change churches over that very thing. Say why? They're focused on the external, not me, buddy. I got up, I kind of rolled back up, started walking thinking, oh, that's going to hurt. Better keep moving, stretch that thing out. Oh, that's going to hurt. Oh, that's going to hurt. Oh, that does hurt. I didn't say, oh, God must not want me to go to work because I fell down before I ever got out the door. I know people that live their life that way. That's weird. By the way, the Holy Spirit will help you forgive those who hurt you so that you can get your hope. I'll make a statement here. If you live your life and have not forgiven somebody, that's why you have no hope. I don't care what they have said or what they have done. You are to forgive them. Well, they didn't come ask me if I would forgive them. Forgiveness is not for the one that did wrong. It's for the one who was wronged. I talked to a lady yesterday. She said, Craig, I know I need to work on forgiving this person. Matter of fact, I'm reading a book about forgiveness. And I called her by name and said, do me a favor, throw the stupid book away. I said, get your Bible out and see what God said, not somebody else. They said, ooh. I said, let me help you. I said, throw the book away. I said, let me tell you what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not for the one that did wrong to you. Forgiveness is for you so that you can be right. I said, what wrong did God do? She said, nothing. I said, God forgave you. You didn't have to forgive God. You wronged him. It's so God's justice can be satisfied. Guess what? When you have something against somebody, that hinders your ability to love God. And when your ability to focus your love on God is hindered, you'll lose hope quickly. And when you lose hope quickly, guess what? You'll change your faith. Like that. Children don't see the big picture because they're not experienced enough at life. Fellas, did you know a 4-year-old doesn't see life like a 40-year-old? Did you know that a 4-year-old boy can do some things? You say, that's not for boys, that's for girls. Okay, they don't even know what the difference between a boy and a girl is yet. I'm not saying it's right, but just so you know, there are more tragic things in life than that. It'll come. Give them time. Did you know that, listen to this statement, they don't see the big picture? Some of you expect your 15-year-old to see the big picture. Most of them can't see their own face in the mirror.
And their face is changing regularly, so they don't know which face they're looking at. Today I got bumps here. Tomorrow I got bumps here. The next day I got bumps there. My face is changing. What's going on? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. By the way, that's why they get discouraged and lose hope so quickly. They're looking at the external, not the eternal. Now, let me say this and I'll be done. Churches change when a pastor dies or leaves. Can I tell you why? Here's this pastor they've known for maybe their whole life, many years. That pastor passes away. Maybe that pastor leaves and goes to another work. And their focus was on that pastor, not God. Now listen to this statement here. Because that love has been torn away, they begin to lose hope. There's just no hope. No matter who comes, oh, that's not brother so-and-so. You're right. Brother so-and-so is not there. So they've lost their hope because they lost their love. Watch this. Those are the churches that change like that. They begin a process of change. Watched it happen time after time after time after time. You go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, Highland Park Baptist Church, where Dr. Lee Robertson used to pastor, and it's not a shadow of what it used to be. And they're now playing rock music in the church in a contemporary service. Why? For 42 years or so, Brother Robertson was there as pastor. He left as pastor. They got a new man in and another new man in. People said, it's not Brother Robertson, and they changed. They lost their hope and they changed. Now they've changed their faith. Watch this. They are now back in the Southern Baptist Convention that Brother Robertson pulled them out of. Everybody doing all right? I can't believe you talk about Brother Robertson. I'm not talking about Brother Robertson. I'm talking about what happened after he left. It's not Dr. Robertson's fault. Quit blaming Dr. Robertson. Well, he didn't build it strong enough. No. His people had their faith built on and their love on him got disappointed and they changed. He didn't. He did not change. Everybody doing all right? I transitioned to church after Brother Hiles passed away. You talk about a church that grieved. Believe me. And I watched as people lost hope. Oh, I couldn't tell you how many thousands of times I heard people say, there's just no more hope. Brother Hiles is gone. There's no hope. I said, God didn't die. God did not die. Yes, I loved Dr. Jack Hiles. But when he died, God didn't. Everybody doing all right? And I hate to tell you, that church is not a shadow of what it used to be. You see, you can get to a point where you love a man more than you love God. I love men of God, but I love God more than I love men of God. I want you to be able to love me, but if you have to choose between me and God, choose God. He doesn't change, I do. I'm trying not to, but just so you know, choose God, not a man. You see, when you get disillusioned and your faith is, or your love is taken away, watch this, you'll lose your hope and then you're going to lose your faith. You show me, I can show you, I can trot 100 church names up here that fast. All over this country. And I know what I'm talking about. About 14 years ago, I preached my grandmother's funeral. I think 14 years, I know it's 14 years ago this week. I was there preaching my grandmother's funeral. Dr. Harold Henniger of the Great Camp Baptist Temple was there.
at one time ran 10,000 in church. He came to the funeral, walked in. I thought, I know that man. Dr. Henniger was about 6'2", 6'3", tall, stately, polished fella. And I leaned over to my mom. I said, Mom, is that Brother Henniger? She said, yeah. I said, I thought so. I walked over and I said, Brother Henniger, he said, young man, you're a Bush, aren't you? He had an incredible memory. I said, yes, sir. He said, hang on. He said, are you Sonny's boy? I said, yes, sir. Oldest or youngest? I said, youngest. Everybody called my dad Sonny. I don't know why, but that was his nickname and everybody called him that. We talked for a moment. At that time, I was working for Brother Hiles. He said, young man, my church has changed. My son took my church over and about destroyed it. Said, in a couple weeks, they're voting whether to take the name Baptist off the sign. Never could be more discouraged. That big old, tall, stately man of God put his head on my shoulder and began to cry. He said, if you're the only thing that the Camp Baptist Temple ever turned out, don't you change. Don't do to somebody else's church what's happened to mine. Don't change. I picked him up and I looked him eyeball to eyeball. I said, Brother Henniger, don't worry. Because the churches I'll be a part of are going to be focused on the Word of God, not a person. We're not going the way of the world. We're going to get closer to God, not farther away. I said, I had great men of God teach me that. He said, don't you change. Don't you change. By the way, Dr. Henniger was trained under J. Frank Norris. I knew Dr. Bruce Cummins, Massillon Baptist Temple. He worked for Dr. J. Frank Norris. Can I tell you something? When people lose the love and they focus their love on the temporary, their hope is shaken. And when their hope is shaken, they generally change their faith. People who focus on temporary love, who lose hope, very rarely go to something stronger in faith. They go to something lesser in faith. Mark my words. Can I tell you something? Let's let our love be focused on the eternal. I said in Sunday school this morning, we're going to learn doctrine, not church tradition. Say why? Because that doesn't change. Traditions change. Traditions change. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me give you some hope. What's your love focused on? Well, I love that person that died this last year or two. Okay, I know you did, but God didn't die. Well, this person hurt me. This person attacked me. Okay, but God didn't. The Word of God didn't attack you. Who's that person you've not forgiven? There are people in this room that have unforgiveness in your heart, and you wonder why you're struggling with your hope. Until you get that bitterness out, you will struggle because you can't focus on the right love. You're focused on a situation. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked away in that truth, I needed that this morning. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I don't have any doubt at all. I know I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, the hope that you have. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. You can put your hand down. Maybe you just need to use this altar. Matter of fact, if you raised your hand, you should. If you raised your hand saying you didn't know for sure you'd go to heaven when you die, we'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. You can have hope for eternity. When you die, you're going to heaven. I promise you.